shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you sent the prophet in your name and vindicated to be such. And we are very happy, Lord. In fact, we cannot even begin to express our joy and our great and good fortune, Lord, to be blessed of you, to be a part of the people who listened to your word, who recognized your manifested presence and believe that you indeed are here to be with your people. And Lord, also we are happy to know that your prophet said that you were in simplicity, that it's so simple that people miss it, and was so simple that even he did not realize it until the opening of the seals. And we marvel that he would say such a thing, because we ourselves could not see how simple it was. And yet this morning, Lord, we do see the simplicity because of the fact of the truth that he always did preach. It's the word of God. And here we are to that word, Lord, and this is the original seed. This is literally God in print, God in blueprint of what he himself, you yourself, Lord, are manifesting and bringing to pass. And Lord, we do not want to miss the revelation of the hour, Lord, because it is the word of the hour and it is the message of the hour that we are looking at. And may we fully identify, therefore, with this hour and whatever has been said by the prophet, knowing it is true, because he cannot speak against you, Lord. There's no way a prophet, a true prophet, could do that. But speaking for you and you in him, bringing this very word to pass, so we have this consolation and this great rest this morning. And we know, Lord, even though it has been said, live, die, it is not die, it is live. Even as Paul said that was the sentence of death was in him, but now that life came, there is no sentence of death, though he himself may go to the grave, he was going on living. And we saw that by Brother Branham's vision when he went to that great place where they are. So, Lord, we realize this morning that the simplicity of your word, it is your word, the word of the hour, and we ought to therefore pay all the heed to it, the attention. And as we do, we know that is the answer to all things. And if we are a part of that, then truly, Lord, and stay with it, which we will, all these things which come to pass are ours, and we are indeed a blessed people. So we humbly and very gratefully acknowledge your presence and your love to us, which you manifested, and the joy and strength of the word. We ask you, Lord, to help us to actually become more engrossed in that word and also ingest more until the word becomes our very life, because we know man shall not live by bread alone. We've got to have a little bit of that. But it is the word of God that really counts, because when this flesh is gone and needing no more sustenance, the soul will rise, Lord, to be clothed with the body peculiar to it, and then come back with another body more designated and commensurate to it, Lord. And we know that's all in the word, which we are standing by, because you stand by it and have vindicated to us. So help us this morning to yield more and more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 14, I guess it is. Yeah, number 14 of the series. And we should be right there about page 30, which we will get to. And in considering this message as pertaining to what Brother Branham wants to get across to us relative to the proper attitude toward the word, and to believe it's the vindicated word of the hour, it's a loud and clear message that actually is the foundation and forerunner of a sermon that Brother Branham really loved greatly, which was paradox. In other words, an apparent contradiction, yet it is absolutely the truth. And he goes way back, starting with Eve, and by divine revelation, which stands on vindication, he states categorically that Eve's sin was reason-based unbelief. Reason-based unbelief. Many people think it not to be that. They would look you in the eye, as I once did myself, and say, well, just a minute, it doesn't matter what Eve did. The fact of the matter did, it was disobedience. Well, that sounds very true and very good by reason of the fact that she certainly did what she was not supposed to do. And, of course, that's up for grabs. What did she really do? But you've got to get back of that. Never mind what she did. The fact is, what caused her to do that in the light of her situation, which was a most marvelous situation? Well, you have to listen to a vindicated prophet, and as you do, and you go to Scripture, you'll find that her sin actually was not what she did. That's the... what she did came out of what was there ahead of it that gave her that springboard to spring into sin and bring the whole race down into an interruption of God's program. Now, she yielded her mind to debate the issue, which was, how can you possibly die, you and Adam, when it's given to you to populate the earth and then take all things in control? See, that's the what Satan came to her, and he began talking to her that she might reason. And now there's such a thing as reasoning that is good. Don't think for one minute that all reasoning is bad, because God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And that's really, come now, let us come together, and you listen to reason. Listen to what is right. But Eve began to reason, and her mind took in a wrong or a hybridized seed, which was that Satan misdirected the word to her. He wrongly interpreted, wrongly divided. And so she took in this hybridized seed, which is the word of God changed. But notice the Virgin Mary. If Eve could reason back in the age of innocence, what might Mary do 4,000 years later? 4,000 years later, she should have blown it. She should have said, just a minute, who do you think you're kidding? Now, let's be honest. Virgin birth today is still denied by most people of the East. You can't get a Jew to believe it. You can't get the Armenians and the Iranians and the rest of them who claim to be, well, maybe Ishmaelites or whatever, descendants of Abraham by flesh, because they understood mythology only too well, and temple worship of the priests and the Vestal Virgins, who constantly indulged themselves in sexual sins but blamed it on to the gods. And so when one of the nuns or somebody had a baby by one of the men, she foolishly declared it was the child of the gods. Now, so Mary was well steeped in mythology, but as Brother Branham said, she had a godly mother, and she knew that Isaiah 9 and 16 had to be right. A virgin would bear a child. Now, I don't think for one minute she had the real revelation of it until that moment. But we're looking at Eve in an age of innocence to another Eve called Mary, another woman. And 4,000 years later... If Eve was a mess, how much more of a mess would Mary be? But you notice you snap the word just like that. She said, how can these things be? She said, that's Bible. How can these things be? He told her. Well, she said, be it unto me according to the word of the Lord. Now, that's the paradox. When the paradox came, a child without male intervention but by the Holy Ghost, and she knew all the mythology and everything else to steer away from it, that she could bear the Son of God, her mind did not falter, she believed. Brother Branham said one had a whore's mind in a whore's womb. or a whoring mind and a whoring womb. In other words, she was ready to be steered away from the Word. And one, he had another one that had a virgin or true child of God womb. Now, of course, Brother Branham had every right to talk about this on the grounds that the first church age was espoused to Christ as a virgin, and Paul tells you where the great problem lies, which is in the mind. Because as Brother Branham explained, the mind is a part of the spirit. Now, we're not talking about the brain now. The brain is a receptacle. That's your computer disk. That little chip up there that takes in everything and files it away. And if you're fortunate, you can bring some of the information back. But it's all there. Don't worry. Now, remember, you have a spirit that's allowed of God, but not of God. In other words, it's a creation. It picks up your body. Your body picks up at birth when the child comes down. But just because that is so, doesn't mean that everybody is going to have a spirit that didn't fall. One of those angels. And that spirit can cause you a lot of problems because it's got to work through the flesh. It was given for the flesh. And as it works through the flesh, it will cause the mind and the person to begin to reason. Now, if you're not bride material, you won't make the right decision when the Word goes down into the soul, and the soul has only the ability to say yes or no. It has a decision. The decision is to go to the Word or not go to the Word. Now remember, you can be in a place of indecision. And you might say, well, I really can't make my mind up. I really can't give this the go-ahead because, well, now you see, you'd be a foolish virgin. See, the Bible tells you flat that if you're not sowing with him, you're sowing against him. If you're not for him, you're against him. There's no place for neutrality. See, people in this message, they don't like live, die, sink or swim, because they want to sit on the fence and say, well, the point is this, I'm not swimming, but I ain't sinking because I'm floating. Now, Brother Branham did not say sink, float, swim. He said sink, swim. He used the place, he actually used the word drown, swim or drown. But, of course, I follow through on the little axiom that is extant. Live, die, sink, swim. So, all right, we got a problem in here. But the bride has the virgin womb, which means the period of gestation, which is in the mind, to collect and see that this is truly scriptural, though not according necessarily to your interpretation. You're willing to listen, and you do listen, then the decision in your soul says this is it. And your decision, therefore, is from your soul, is what gives you the entrance or non-entrance to bride and eternal life in the New Jerusalem. Now, today we have a paradox. Based upon this very sermon, because 8 people make the ark, and the world is under the delusion, actually 1 billion Christians, so-called, are under the delusion that there are going to be multitudes who are going to escape the great tribulation. And those who actually believe they go through the tribulation, they believe they're still bride, they're still fine. When the fact of the matter is that that's not so. Now, they know that this is in the Bible, what we're talking about, like Mary knew. And as soon as the word came to her, she just took it like that, and she brought forth Christ in flesh. She brought forth that one. And Brother Branham speaks of the church not being able to do it, because they've got the hybridized word in a womb that's closed up to everything else now. They got the wrong seed, and they're going to bring forth. And what they're going to bring forth is the Antichrist. And Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name. You don't receive me. There's one that's going to come in his own name, and him you will receive. And Brother Branham showed us how that's already gone through the popes, and the pope is going to then head up the world church. And you can see they're getting closer and closer to it because the fences are being broken down. I don't have much doubt in my mind that the next pope, and he could come out of America, though right now they're kind of touting a black man who's not very young, but at this point the claim is that the college of cardinals that to make the big decision, and of course the bishops are in on it too, they take all the advice from everybody and get the advice on, that it could be an Asiatic or an African. But if this is the hour for that pope to come out of America, I don't care what they think. God will just overrule them by, you know, dropping a nice little bomb somewhere, usually known as a stink bomb, and everybody will run out because of the awful smell, because ain't going to be any pope but the American pope that's going to stand the test. And I believe that new pope coming up may just very well overrule everything that Pope John Paul II has advocated, which is a celibacy. And because you have so much problems within the church, the priests messing with women and they're pedophiles and everything else, that they're going to have to start doing something. And since the Jews have got female rabbis, which is 100% contrary to the Word of God, there's no reason why these Gentile bunch of hunyucks shouldn't turn around and have a bunch of women in there, maybe even a woman pope almost. So they had one, they claim, once, and she dressed like a man. I guess she was... There's just a big story. I won't talk about it. It's a very crude one, and very interesting, too, by the way. And the book is entitled The Good Popes and the Bad Popes. I'd like to find one good one myself, because, you know, let's face it, I mean, there might be a real moral fine person, but hey, he's not a good pope, because he claims he's the good shepherd, and that's a lie. There's only one good shepherd. And so we are protesters of their hogwash. But anyway, I wouldn't be surprised that you're going to see a great letdown where the whole world can come together. And when you realize, as we just read the other day in the Time magazine or one place, that the ghostwriter for Falwell and for Billy Graham was a gay. That's a very happy thought, isn't it? He got a homo writing for Billy Graham, ghosting, and for Falwell. True. And another guy, too. He took them all in. But you don't fool the bride. We are too wise with the wisdom that God has given us. Now, let me see here. I want to get to this to show you some things. And this great paradox, this great message of the hour is incredible in the eyes of the people because of their reasoning with the Word, instead of being led by a true revelation, which revelation began with vindication. And if Paul could condemn the first age, that their virginity was already on the wane, and the Ephesian age was condemned by God, and the script given to the scriptwriter John in the second chapter and the first few verses of Revelation, that they'd already left their first love. And remember, Paul talks about that first love to the Galatians. He said, when I first came, he said, you'd have given your eyes for me because I brought you this word. He had to go ahead and re-explain how he got it by vindication, and they knowing was vindicated. So, how would you get back to being a virgin unless you could have a vindicated word again? See, now that's what they're not going to give into. And they may say, well, I think, oh, that sounds good, that sounds good, yeah, that sounds good. That's like, you know, I go to get pick up a menu in French and I say, boy, that sounds good. And, oh, what is it? It's sweetbreads. Sweetbreads. I could not stand the thought of sweetbreads, even though you bathe them in the finest sauce in the world. Yeah. Sweetbreads. You know what sweetbreads are? It's the pancreas, isn't it? You know, who knows biology? Who's a butcher? Well, come on. It's either in the glands here in the neck, the thyroid or something, or it's the pancreas or something. But anyway, yuck. Never could stand blood pudding near. Well, I never could stand a lot of things, but that's beside the point. The thing is, there's no way that I would want that, see? And the church does not want a vindicated message. To them, it's yuck, you know. There's no stomach for it. See, they've been brought up on a diet of junk food, greasy fried stuff, that there's no way their system can even adjust to the good food. Now, we came out of the junk food spiritual churches, and it's taken a while. Now we're to the place where say, hey, the prophet said so. Don't pretend to understand it all. Maybe even believe it sort of wrong. But I believe it. Because he said it. See, you're looking at vindication that this man has to be right. Now, let's read a bit here and then we'll get into where we're going. I'm just kind of feeling my way because I want to talk to you about something here. Now, see, the mind is the womb and has to receive the word. Then the spirit comes on top of that to bring it life to you and will bring forth the results that were designated for that hour. Now, there's no way that the second age could have had what we have, or the third age, or the fourth age, or the fifth age, or the sixth age. Only the seventh age. It's just like when you see the word fire. There's no way that there can be fire until it's all over. And God wants to burn it up in retributive wrath, cleansing. See? So when you see that word there, the axe laid to the roots, and fire, there's no use you talking about age number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's age number 7. It's the tail end. It's the conclusion. So there's something, though, for every single age. There's a continuity of the life of the Word. And we saw 4 church ages. The end of the 4th church age, it was abysmally dark. The little light holder the furthest from the bowl of oil. Then it began to lighten up. Number 5, 6. And the 7th age, now notice, it's always a trickle and it's always a tiny elect. The foolish virgin come behind later and they organize and there's life in it till the next messenger, the next age comes on. Then you notice a fresh message comes. So, all right. But there's always a teeny, teeny number. There's never very many. Now, if you want to notice this carefully, you'll notice that all the Jews from the time of the rejection of Jesus, the souls under the altar, are very few. And at the end time of the millions of Jews in Palestine, only 144,000 are sealed in and make it. The rest don't. Now, they're gone. They're finished. So there's just a few people make it. Now that's the paradox we're looking at. The paradox is, my goodness me, how can this be true? See, how can we take this? And yet, there are certain things that cannot be denied, but they'll deny them anyway. See? Sorry now. He's talking about Mary's womb, the physical mind. Was a virgin womb. Why? She believed God's word. Now you can tell right there it was a virgin womb. Now it doesn't matter. It was cluttered. Don't worry about that. See? Because that womb was not going to bring forth the clutteration that came by the mind and all. Because soon as the light hits, it throws everything else out and says, this is it. Now that's strange, but that's how it is. And I know people say, well, you know, that's, I don't quite get that because, you know, hey, look it. If you weren't meant to see the light, you're not going to do it, so don't worry about it. If you weren't meant to take up a paintbrush and become a Monet or, you know, something like that, a Rosa Bonheur, to paint the wild, the beautiful animal life, yeah, you ain't going to do it. You're not going to do it. She believed God's word, no matter how much anybody criticized, how many things somebody else said. That didn't have one thing to do with it. She believed God's word regardless. Live, die, sink, swim, see? Oh, I wish I could just get that over to you. Are you getting it? See, first her mind. See, that's the mechanics in there. Before the act ever took place in her literal womb, the act had to take place in here first to let the Spirit come in to do the rest of the work. Now, in this message, you're going to find that a lot of people like to criticize the word mechanic. And they like to go to the book of Corinthians, though I know all mysteries and have knowledge and have all knowledge and have not, Brother Branham said, love the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because that's God's own nature right there, God and His nature. The Holy Spirit said, I am nothing. And the minute that you come up, many times, especially in my own case, and I bring these things out here, I'm withstood right away. And then when they find out I'm right, they say, well, you see, it was just mechanical with him. He had the wrong spirit. Merciful God, didn't the Spirit reveal this word? Don't you have to have it, first of all, in your mind before it gets down here? What are they talking about? I doubt if it ever got down into their soul. The very guy that said I was running around the world spreading churches was a liar. I never went to one church with the message of the presence. But I first said to the pastor, listen, I'm going to preach something you might not agree with. I believe it. And when I get finished, you come right behind me and tell the people I do or I don't believe it. And you won't hurt my feelings because you're the pastor. The same guy that criticized me went to New Zealand and spread a guy's church on preaching the presence. I never spread in any church over the presence. Never did and never will. I'm not going anywhere. Like I'm going to tell you right now, if you haven't caught it, when I go back to Genesis there and I talk about God said male and female created he them, I said that to me, based on what Brother Branham taught, is, as it were, a second act in creation. I'm talking about what I believe according to what Brother Branham taught. Brother Branham did not teach that. I'm referring to it on my own understanding. And I could do it to grind an axe, because I'm not that stupid. I could grind an axe. Now you say, Brother Bear, what was the axe? Are you sitting here and don't know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about this female hormone spirit bit they've got. As though God's got a female spirit and a male spirit. Now, I know all life is male and female. I understand that perfectly. Brother Branham cleared it by, he said it was for procreation and proliferation. The proliferation of what? The life. What kind of life? Horse life, dog life, pig life. Now it's human life. And the rotten thing is they got an animal and a human life messed up together. Through a woman. But I want to let you know, I'm not standing here like a perfect guy that I'm a prophet. I am not. I have to look at this word and look at it and look at it. I've told you time and time again, I start teaching on certain points. I know there's something there, and I believe before too long I will get it. And finally I come to the place where I say, this is it as far as I am concerned. This covers the scripture. This covers Brother Branham. And this is it. Now it was her mind. before the act had ever taken place in the literal womb. The act had to take place in her mind first to let the Spirit come in to do the rest of the work. Oh, before the actual spiritual birth can take place, the Word has to find itself through your mind to believe it. That's exactly what Paul said. There is a faith, and the faith is in the gospel, and the gospel is the revealed word, the vindicated revealed word. So they had to take the word first. Now, Paul was in a good place to take the word because God struck him down and made such a fool out of him that he didn't dare have a second thought. He was one that stood there and held the garments of Stephen, who was killed because Jesus had died and rose and raised again. He knew about, no doubt, about the man at the gate, beautiful, being healed. And no doubt he knew without a doubt that Jesus had been crucified as a malefactor, though he was a false Messiah. Are you getting it? Now, you got a guy right now that God kicked all of his teeth out. This guy had no more bite left. Whatever God said was it. God said the moon is made out of green cheese, Paul would approve it. It was all over. Now see, this is where we have to be too, and that's the way the bride was in the first age. It's all over when vindication comes. It's over. It doesn't matter whether you believe it 100% correctly, because God, the Word will correct you. Is do you believe it, period? You see? Or something else coming down the road. See, there's the thing I can't stand. Paul brought the word first. What came down the road next? End time prophet William Branham, 100% identified with Paul. The same pillar of fire that brought it is the pillar of fire here revealing. So if there is to be a third, find it in the Scripture. You say, well, why do you mean there's not a third? Because Alpha is Omega, A is Z. And there's nothing in between. Once you get the Z, which is a duplication of A, it's over. It's over. I wonder how many preachers even understand the doctrine of the principle of Alpha and Omega. Brother Branham did. He told us. Now he that heareth my words, now listen, here is a paradox. In other words, an apparent contradiction that Brother Branham is going to bring us. And we're going to go right to the Bible and show you that Brother Branham is full of hogwash. Everybody else is nuts and he's true. And Brother Branham kept saying that every man's word be a lie but God's. And he knew he had God's word. So everybody who takes John 5 different from William Branham is a liar. Liar. Liar, liar. Yep. And I'll soon be there at the white throne. And I'm either going to be there judging or be judged. And if I'm true seed, I will not be blown away like the chaff. Now, just a minute. The chaff is being blown away right in this hour. You're nodding your head, but the word out there isn't. They don't believe what I said. It's a paradox. Why is it a paradox? Because it's true, because it's vindicated. All right, here's what Brother Branham said for this hour. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that has sent me hath eternal life and shall never come into the judgment or through the tribulation period, but has passed from death unto life. That's it. Okay? But all the time in the world. We don't care when we ever finish this sermon. I sure don't. As long as I get out of here in an hour and a half, and it's part of it's gone. John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is a Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having the five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind and withered and halt and waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then was first after the troubling of the water stepped in, was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him and knew he had been there a long time in that particular case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Sir, I've got no man with the water of trouble to put me into the pool. And while I'm coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to the man was cured, Is it the Sabbath day or is it lawful? And it's the Sabbath day, and it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. And they said, What man is it that said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed didn't know who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in that place, of course, he couldn't find him. Afterward, Jesus finds the man in the temple and said, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. And the man departed and told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him whole. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he'd done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto. He's working, you know, he's always done the work, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he'd not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. Now what's the trouble with these guys? These guys are a bunch of Mormons. The Mormons have the authority by Joe Smith to heal the sick, to cast out devils, to raise the dead, and do all these things. Like a certain son of Joe Smith, a child of darkness, who listened to a wrong angel and therefore must be of the devil in my books, came to me one day when I was in a church in Canada casting out devils and praying for the sick and doing miracles and things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came up and he said, By what authority do you do these things? And I said, Before I tell you, let me ask you a question. I said, Do you have the authority to do this? He said, Yes. I said, Can you do it? No. Now I said, That's strange. You deny I've got the authority, and you have what I can do and you can't. I'm telling you the truth. I hit him right between the eyes. So what church do you go to? He said, The Mormon church. I said, Well, that answers a lot of questions. You're too busy having enough women. You haven't got time for God. They're a bunch of whoremongers, most of them, flinging everything else. Now, what am I trying to show you? I'm trying to show you that these hypocrites, these Jews were nothing but a bunch of Mormons. They had the word of God and the authority, but they couldn't do it. Now here comes along a man, just an ordinary guy. His name is Jesus. He even got a bum reputation. A lot of people think he's the illegitimate son of Mary by a Roman soldier. And he can do it. Oh. He can do it. Now, only the real mighty prophets are supposed to, if they really ever get such a guy. Because they've been hundreds of years without one. And they're living in their dead traditions. And they're standing there interpreting the men who were vindicated, who brought the word, and they can't even not only not do it, they come against it. So they got to say, well, this fellow's of the devil. This is not God. Now watch, Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he doeth, that's God the Father does, these also doeth the Son likewise, in like manner, identical. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Now, if you just hold your finger there and swing to John 14, in verse 10, Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, the Father me hath believed me for the very work's sake. Then I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do, and greater than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Now remember, he said, greater works will be done because I'm going to my Father, and he designates a person doing it. Now remember right in here, the Father's in me, and so on. Remember, the Father's doing the works, the Father's showing him the works. And Brother Branham categorically said this was by vision, because the prophets worked by vision. In other words, you literally see the thing before it takes place. Now, people can have visions without being prophets. But the point is this, it'll not be the same category as a real prophet, because he will have many visions. And never one will ever fail. Now watch. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. Now I want you to put two things together in here. It tells you categorically the Son can do nothing of himself. This is a categorical statement. That the Son can do nothing of himself. He cannot think it. He cannot initiate it. He cannot perform it. God does it. You understand what I'm saying? Because too many people here this morning, I know, in the sound of my voice, are arrogating to Jesus Christ, the mediator and the intercessor, powers he does not have. Mediator and intercessor stands for one thing. He, by virtue of what God did in and through him, and he being that word manifest in flesh and fully obedient, never getting in the way, has become our entrance and our keeper of the things of God by virtue of what God ordained. Of himself? No! Because he's only the Son. Remember, blessed be the God and Father. Don't ever think of Father until you first think of God. Which means there's the utmost reverence to the sovereignty of him who was sitting on the throne but now came down here. Now keep that in mind. There is nothing, nothing, nothing. I will pray the Father and he will do it. Now I say, well, I can run across another scripture that says I'll do so and so. Just a minute. You better watch your context and watch what you're looking at, because he says right here, the Son can do nothing. It's the Father doing it. And you'll notice God created all things by Christ Jesus. God did it. God reconciled the world in Christ Jesus. And it's God in the prophets, and that's Elohim, that's Jehovah. That's why Wiest and men like of his caliber and Brother Branham could say by divine revelation and vision and vindication that Jehovah, Jesus of the New Testament, is the Jehovah of the Old, and that one went back to being a pillar of fire. But just a minute, the Son was on the mercy seat and now on the throne. Where is Elohim now? You see, you can get so mixed up by scriptural terminology, you become Jesus only. And when the supreme deity of Jesus is spoken of, you don't even know what it's about. And it can be very confusing until you begin to understand that Jesus is not God in the literal sense of the original. Now, since a piano can be a god, Jesus also can be a god because you can worship him. But he is not God and Father. See, he's got a God and Father, the same as we have. Jesus is the brother. Now let's look at this. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens him, even so the Son quickens whom he will. All right, now just a minute. Just a minute. What's he telling you? Well, now he's telling you here, well, what it is, Brother Dale, that the Father here's got an idea and the Son here's got an idea. Hogwash! He said the Son can do nothing. What's he telling you? the perfect unity. In the Word here, still going on. Do you think for one minute now that Jesus is mediator, and I can pray and say, oh, dear Jesus, plead with the Father, and if that doesn't work for a land, say, talk to your mother. Or I'll talk to her first. We'll get her talking to you. We'll get this thing a chain reaction. But I want this guy over here saved. That's why I said Moses never went down to Egypt and said, let's pray for Pharaoh. Oh boy, if we get Pharaoh converted. How much good did it to pray for Joe Stalin? How much for Hitler? God raised those men up for that purpose. Serpent seed. Do you realize that God called Cyrus by name? A Gentile king? He was called Cyrus by name, but I think it was by Isaiah. I'm not sure, I'll look it up for you. 400 years before he was born? Don't tell me about a sovereign God. Brother Branham said God's so sovereign and he's so complex and he's so infinite, he could tell you how many fleas there'd be and how many times they'd bat their eyeballs and how many would it make to make a pound of tallow. Figure that one out. Now listen, don't get your wires crossed here, but the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. Well, God stands back now. Oh, come on. You're blowing your continuity. All that the Father giveth me comes to me. And nobody can come except they're given by the Father. Huh? Who has the children? God does. Who redeems them? God does. And how? Through the Son in which the only begotten, that one of a kind, never replicated, never duplicated. The great one. He came like us, but he didn't bypass that form. We came like him, we bypassed the form. He stands as the captain of our salvation. All of these things. And there's no way that you can change the Word of God, because if Jesus changed anything, then he's a liar. It's yesterday, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. And Brother Branham took that right back to the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, where God stood there outside the tent just before the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah when it was burned up. So let's keep with the vindicated prophet. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. In other words, he's talking about the equality. And it says right down here, they sought to kill him because he said, I'm the Son of God, and if God's his Father, then he's equal with God. How equal is equal? They said to Brother Branham, what's the difference between God and Jesus? No difference, that one had a beginning. Now that's being contradicted. What's contradicted by people in this congregation? Because they don't understand, they never will understand. I can't get it across to them, and I'm not going to try. Don't even come near me. He said, Brother Bale, you're tough. Why should I waste time on people that can't learn? So why you should? Why did you do it? You mind your business. I'm standing before God, not you, for Lee Dale. Don't tell me. You say, well, Brother Bale, you're not nice. I never said I was. Nice isn't the game. Truth is the game. Truth! Without hypocrisy, I don't sneak behind your back. Don't sneak behind mine. When I find out, I'll clobber you. Stand the guts and stand beside me in the pulpit. You tell me he can change. And I'll call you a liar. You quote all the scripture you want. I'll still call you a liar because you're misreading the scripture. He himself said right here, greater works. He'll show me. What about that pillar fire? That's Jehovah. That's Elohim. Came right down here. And Brother Branham said he had more success in my ministry here when he was on earth in the flesh. Who was there in the flesh? That one right there. Who's standing inside of him now and over him? Well, Brother Dale, that's blasphemy. Well, I just cussed the good one, didn't I? I just blasted myself into heaven, whether you knew it or not, because I'm standing with the living God. Go to your idolatries and your adulteries. That's your business. I don't think anybody here is that kind of a person. If you are, you've hidden it very well. But you can't hide from God. Now he said, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things he doeth. And remember, God's not his own Son. He's the Father, and this is the Son. He'll show him greater works than these, and he did it. And he tells you right here in John 14 that those greater works, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also in greater than these, because I go to my Father. Right. And he was on the mercy seat behind the throne. And now he's on the throne because that one came down here. And he's showing him greater works. You see, it couldn't be done without his sacrifice. And the pleasure of God consummated. See? Don't get your lines mixed up in these times. Verily, verily, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into the judgment. And Brother Branham said, the great tribulation. Now, this is a paradox because nobody but us poor little pea-headed idiots that isn't that stupid jerk from Kentucky who had this big ministry and blew it and got so high-minded because the great ministry, he made himself something, even Elijah. Now, listen, I'm cutting enough capers up here for God did not even look at me in the white throne. In the lake of fire and said, that's the end of you, boy. I'm going to fry, let's fry good. If I'm going to enter, let's have an abundant entrance. It's the truth. Shall not come into the great tribulation, but is passed from death unto life. He's gone to the tree of life. Truly, John said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And that was absolutely took place the first half of the first resurrection. For as the Father hath life in himself, so is he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now that's no problem. It tells you who did it. Well, that's going to make him separate. Some guy that works by himself, or he's going to twist the arm of God. How is the Son going to twist the arm of God? I don't care if he is the Son. He said, I don't do one thing or say one thing, but what he tells me to say and what he shows me to do. Now, he trusts me so perfectly, I can stand back right now and do what I want. What did Brother Branham say about the adopted son? He was under a tutor until he learned so perfect. The father could trust him, and he gave him the checkbook, knowing he would never take one cent for what he's instructed by the father and how to live that life and everything else. This one is a perfect manifestation of God. And now suddenly, he's going to get big and say, now, Father, step aside. Will I take over? He's just mediator and intercessor in the presence of God. You understand what I'm saying? He's not God. He's the Son of God. When God was in him, he was absolute deity, because he that has seen me has seen the Father. You can't get away from that. But that does not make him God. He's the Son of God. It's only God in the complete sense that God is with the people. He's dwelling in them and amongst them. You can have the same thing right today, but you've got to keep that one separate. Now the hour is coming. Now, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good unto resurrection life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. Now watch. As I hear, I judge. What does he say? For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. I can of myself do no judging. Only as I hear my Father judge, I judge. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another bear witness of me, and I know the witness which he witnessed of me is true. He sent unto John, he bear witness of the truth, but I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. John was a burning and a shining light, and he were willing to, for a season, rejoice in his light. But I've got a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father gave me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness in me, the Father sent me. And Brother Branham categorically said that Jesus did not finish all the works on earth that he was supposed to do. And at the end time, he's doing them now. Now remember, Jesus does not do the work except manifesting it. The actual power, the actual worker, is God in that person. He said, only what I see, that's what I do. Only what I hear, that's what I say. He can't change. And he was a prophet. So if there's greater works in the ministry down here, do you mean to say Jesus is going to come off the throne and come down here? He'd have to come down here in the flesh and do it. But he can't do it. It wouldn't do any good anyway. Can't have two jobs at one time. Can't be on the mercy seat or on the throne. And then down here, come on, smarten up, lighten up. So who's going to do the works? They said to William Branham, what's the difference? When Jesus said, he that seen me seen the Father, he said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. You talk about a paradox. Well, it really isn't a paradox. It's just the utmost truth, but it looks kind of silly in the light of these people that have all the answers. The church has had all the answers. William Branham came with the power of God. If the church had all the answers, like he said under latter rain, he said when they went back to 1906, had they stood at the word, even 50 people, they'd have turned the world upside down for God. But it wasn't the true latter rain. Well, sir, William Branham came on the scene. God gave him the word, and that word was manifested by the fact of his vindication. The Father himself, which has sent me, had borne witness to me. You've never heard his voice at any time or seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, you believe not. Now Jesus said, if you receive whomsoever I send, you receive me. And in receiving me, you receive the Father. So that tells you something right there. Search the scripture, and they think you have eternal life, and there they was testify me. And you will not come to me, you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. How do you know that? He said, if I had not done the works of other men, did they not sin? But now they're both seen and hated, both me and my Father. Okay? Now listen, let me tell you something. I will not take you to John the 12th chapter, but you better go and read that whole thing and study it. Because in there, the Holy Spirit, in the form of a human being, William Branham, comes to the church and does the same things that were done back there in flesh. And you will see the exact conditions that Alpha is Omega. If you want to know exact conditions, you'll go back here to the Gospels where the Alpha is. Where God was in human flesh. And the Son spoke out and said, he that sees me sees the Father. The same as William Branham said, he that sees me sees God my Father. Because William Branham cannot say, thus saith the Lord. It is not William Branham that says these things that come to pass so perfectly. Who is it? It's God. But listen, if one of their own bunch of stupid organization of bastard seeds from a whoring womb rose up with signs and wonders like they're doing all around the country, oh, that man's a God. We're a God. Hallelujah. Oh, shut up. You make me sick, you stinking bunch of birds. No wonder Brother Branham was sick. I just want to puke. That's why he had all that stomach trouble. It wasn't that thing that got down there. It was these denominational birds in Pentecost. You don't believe it? I can't say I told you the truth that time. I think it was, though. I think it was. Yeah, I'm come in my Father's name. You receive me not. Another come in his own name. He will receive. Listen, how do you come in the Father's name? Thus saith the Lord and vindication. The next guy's going to come with spears and swords and an economic bill of fare. Why do you think America's rallying? Economy. Because that's the lying sign and wonder, I believe, that's going to come to this earth when that big shot solves our problems. And traffic is rolling again. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus is gone. Who was it that came to Jesus and said, turn these stones into bread? Come on, let's get the economy going. Well, gold is a type of stone. Now listen, how can you believe which receive honor one of another? And seek not the honor that comes from God only. Now, what's the honor that comes from God only? This very thing we're talking about, vindication. We're talking about him here, how it was done. And they come against it. I do not think I'll accuse you to the Father. Now, watch this. Do not think I'll accuse the Father. There is one that accuses, even Moses, in whom you hope. The judging word. They blew it. They're already judged. This, listen, that's why we're before the white throne. The Ancient of Days of Daniel is the same one in Revelation 1. I don't care what form you think you see there, anything else. Look, we got a new woman on the bench, the Supreme Court. That's all 9 of them now. So they can start working before October, September, whatever it is. I think we got 9, haven't we? Yeah, we got 9. There's got to be a split number so you can have a majority. Okay, what are those judges bound to do? According to truth, and they're not in the truth. So let's face it, they can't help themselves. But according to truth, they are to take the Constitution, the laws of the land, and give the clearest insight, the right insight, and then pass the verdict. Now that's what you're looking at right today. You are looking at the Word, and the Word is beyond the judge. It doesn't matter whether it's Jesus or God that's judging. Where do they get the right to a verdict? See, word. Because if God had not laid down the word, he could be capricious. And say, well, I'll tell you what, circumstances alter cases, so what I'll do is this. I never thought of that before, but I'll think of it now. Do you realize he's not judging, he's legislating. Ginsburg said, there comes a time when you should do it. And she's quoting her old Jewish friend, Brandeis, who said the Supreme Court should not simply adjudicate but legislate. That is a lie and a destroyer of the American Constitution. So, you man, listen. Where are we? Right here. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote in me. Go to your Bible. It's in there. That's what Brother Branham taught me. He said, Brother Bale, this is so-and-so in the Bible. I said, where's the Bible then? He said, it's in there. You look it up. And he grinned at me, and I said, oh, boy. I was so torn so many ways now trying to get everything lined up. And then he tells me, now look in the Bible. Hey, what's the matter with you using your head? I'm glad he did that, though. It worked out. At least it began my training on the subject. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Now, the point is this. There comes a time after vindication that you must take the word back to the Bible. And that's what William Branham. Now, here's the paradox. How can William Branham be right and all these other wonderful guys wrong? Well, I'll tell you why. Because William Branham had the Spirit of God and they didn't. You might think he did, but he didn't. They're like old Balaam's ship, the anointed. Now notice, virgin womb, virgin mind, believing God's word. And she talks about having her old blind mother and so on. Now, Brother Branham says down here, hallelujah, can you see the word takes flesh? That's Mary's impregnated properly by the life that comes from God. The little cells created were nothing but carriers. It's the same way today. There you are. God's going to have a church. It's going to be born of the Word of God because it's a living Word of God. Now, remember, when he says here, can you see the Word takes flesh? He is talking concerning the fact of Isaiah 9 and 6, that a virgin shall conceive. And that is true, because she recognized the Scripture of Isaiah 9 and 6, that a virgin should bear a child, and this one would be Messiah, the mighty one of Almighty God. Now, let's also recognize that the Bible speaks of this hour, as far as I know he speaks of this hour, in the book of Acts, the 13th chapter. Now, in the 13th chapter, Paul is speaking concerning the literal death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he's proving absolutely that when David spoke, he spoke concerning Messiah, not concerning himself. Now, in verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all things that believe are justified, that by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken in the prophets. Now notice here, that this has already taken place. Behold, you despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Now you're looking back there where Paul uses that very scripture. Now my point is this. Alpha is Omega, and God cannot change either himself or his ways. He is completely unbendable. When it comes down to change, he's absolutely incorrigible. You couldn't get him to change his mind if you took a 4x4 and clubbed him. If you could see him to club him. You couldn't pray, you couldn't fast, you couldn't sacrifice. You couldn't do enough good things. There is no way you can change God's mind. Now let's get this flat. God cannot change his mind because that is God's substance. If you could change his mind, he can't be God. It's utterly impossible. It just can't be done. Well, a guy could prolong his life, a little thing God might do here and there, but for God to change his mind, and we are talking now about the actual principles, the Word of Almighty God, God himself, there is no way it can be done. Change his mask yet, but never change his word. Now, he says here, to these people, now watch, beware therefore lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. It already came upon them. Now this is Paul preaching to the people. He's a apostle of Gentiles. Behold, ye despisers, and wonders, and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work ye shall no wise believe, though a man declared it. Now that is John 5. And John 5 repeats just before the great tribulation. Now, just at the time of the Great Tribulation, remember, and let's understand this flat. Brother Branham said, this very point here of judgment, the white throne, already in the presence. Now, watch what happens. The three things of the Great Tribulation is God judging, and they've judged themselves unworthy of eternal life. So, what do you see? You see, number one, the church is purged, right? Number two, Israel's purged. Number three, the earth is purged. And this is the only thing that saves you from the Great Tribulation. And this is that judgment spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. And it's also Revelation 18, the judgment of the great whore. Chapter 17 also. So what you're looking at there then is the judgment that has already taken place, and Brother Branham, through the prophet, has cleared the way for the bride. You're the sinless, righteous bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't do it in the first place. To go to the tree of life, and you will not die, but you'll live, and you will not be in the great tribulation. Now I realize that this is a paradox, and this is a foolish thing to everybody else but us people here. But we stand with it. Now, he said, this bride at the end time, she's not going to die because the Word becomes flesh. Now, Brother Branham said the church with the whoring womb cannot produce him. They cannot bring him back. Now, remember, Abraham stood outside the tent just prior to Sarah being able to conceive, which 9 months later would bring actually the child in flesh, the promise in flesh, before the burning of Sodom. Now, Jesus does not come back to this earth until after the tribulation. And the bride comes with him. The church in this condition with a whoring womb can't do it. She couldn't do it back in the days of Jesus. She can't do it now. She cannot bring him back. She's talking of bringing him back. Bring back the king. Bring in the millions. Oh, raise millions and bring them all in. All the Pentecostals are shouted. All the Baptists shouted. Everybody that say they love Jesus, the fundamentals, they all shouted, bringing back the king. Hogwash. The whoring womb can't bring back the king. The Holy Ghost will not come upon a whore. Oh, she can get a little anointing. Jig around, dance around her shorts and everything else. Sure. He'll deceive her. He'll give her anointing. But there's no way she can conceive. Not to bring forth the Son of God. Can't do it. She couldn't even bring forth the Son of Man. The Son of Man ministry is only here to prove that God's wooing the bride to bring in the right direction and impregnate her mind with the word of truth. But the world doesn't want it. Now, the word takes flesh. Now, the word takes flesh, and people aren't going to believe it. They will not believe Malachi 4, even though it's got to come to pass, because they want to come to pass there where in their group. They simply cannot take the word of God. Now, remember, when they came to John the Baptist in Isaiah 40, and he said, I am the voice of one crying, that's Isaiah 40 and 3. He said, I am the word of God made flesh. They didn't want to believe it. Of course, they couldn't believe it. There's no way they could believe that. So in this hour, they cannot believe the word of God. And the paradox is, everything that Brother Branham did and everything he said, whether they want to believe it or not, is absolutely in the same mold of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was a prophet. You see, people still do not really give credit to a man. Well, they say, he's just like us. He's got 2 feet, puts on one pair of socks and one leg at a time in his pants, and, you know, he eats one breakfast, and, you know, Oh, no, there's a big difference. And the difference is God. What sovereign God wanted. Not what the church wants, not what you and I want. All of us always want something that's unattainable because we're a bunch of idiots, spiritually speaking, dumb concerning the word. When we get to the place where we want what this word of God says, now we're hitting on all six cylinders. We're moving some. Now, he said, you can see the word take flesh. It didn't. Do unto me according to thy word. And that's what the word was. There you are. God's going to have a church. It's going to be born of the word of God because it is the living word of God. Do you see? In other words, now, we know that this is the living word of God because it is vindicated. It's living in this hour. You can't stop it. You can't change it. How could God back up any man other than his own man with thus saith the Lord? Look, as I've told you dozens of times, if you came in my name and said, I'm going to get everybody here a fresh glass of orange juice, you'd go, where's my glass of orange juice? I said, who in the world told you I was going to give you one? Oh, well, George Blow did. Well, you better go to George Blow, because I didn't say it. The guy's a liar. Well, Brother Bill, he said it, you ought to do it. I said, drop dead. Get your own orange juice. I'm not going to squeeze orange juice to you 40 people here. Forget it. Well, at least you could buy us one. No way. I never said it. You understand what I'm saying? If I can hold my ground being a stupid idiot like I am, coming to this world speaking lies and maybe still doing it, ready to take the gold out of your teeth if I had a chance. Man, pretty hard job. You haven't got any gold anyway. Dentist will do it and charge you for it. Look, if I'm a corrupt dog like you guys, all of you, and I wouldn't let anybody come in my name and pull that on me, in other words, back their lying word up, do you think for 1 minute the Holy God would allow man to come in the name of Jesus Christ, thus saith the Lord, and then back him up? Well, Brother Bill, the devil could do that. Oh, come on. Merciful God, you don't only stink. I haven't got a name bad enough for you. Well, Brother Branham did. He just called you illegitimate. A lying illegitimate came from a womb of a whore. Not talking about your mother now, your father. I'm talking about your church. Your spiritual aptitude. See what I mean? You, hey, The minute that you start carping about William Branham, forget it. The minute you say he made a mistake because I got it over here, forget it. Go to the Bible and believe it, like we're trying to do here this morning. See? Brother Branham also said, you become the Word of God in your flesh. Why not? Isn't that how it's done? I don't know any other way it can be done. See? Because creation comes by word. This is the answer over here to Laodicea. The miserable conditions it's in to get back to the word. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man open the door, I'll give him my message. The Lord descends with the shout, with the message. You see? Now, let's take a look over here at John 15. I think I wanted to see something in John 15. We're going to have to close because time just eats its way out of here, and it's pitiful. The whole Bible is... That's what Brother Brand said. Once you see this message, that's all you'll see in the Bible. The trouble is, I see the whole Bible, and I can't preach Genesis to Revelation. It's ridiculous to even try. John 15 and 18. And what does it say there? It says, if the world hates you, you know that it hates me before it hated you. Now, people will not be loved for following this message. They're going to be hated. You say, I've turned a corner. You're sitting on the fence. They're going to hate you. If you stand up and say, hey, no way, I'm going to soft pedal this, they're going to hate you. Oh, you got a bad spirit. The same guy that says that now about us who believe the presence. What about his bad spirit when he stood his ground and said, well, Brother Brown's going to come back in that big tent? He had all the answers. Why? He'd blow you right off the mat. Hard as a rock. I respect him, but he believed it. Said, it's great. Believe what you want to believe. Well, he doesn't say he's ever changed his mind on it, but he said, well, he said, I drew back on some of those things because, you know, after 25 years, I would too. He got mad at me. I said, what's wrong with you guys? Always you make the same mistake. And I hit him with what Brother Branham said. Always looking forward. Always looking back. Never knowing what's going on. And they still don't know. I challenge you. Get their tapes. I'll give you their names. And see if they tell you one thing about the white throne standing before it. I won't listen to tapes. I haven't got time for it. I'm too smart for that. I go to Brother Branham and say, the books. But you want to find out for yourself? Go ahead and then tell me. Tell me where they're preaching the judge and the white throne. Sure. All looking down the road. Hey, look. William Branham's coming back. If he doesn't come back, forget it. Oh, boy. Am I in trouble? I'm expecting him to come back and say, well, Lee, you didn't do so great, but then, after all, I didn't do the bad either. After all, I'm not your judge. Huh? He doesn't come back, we're shot. What's he going to do? Don't ask me. Look at John 17 and 14. And it says here, I've given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. You know, I'm telling you something here. You and I are hated for the word of God. Don't tell me we're not. It doesn't matter to me if they say, Lee, they'll build a house and build a house around himself. Well, I hope I did. I'm just be honest with you. I hope it's a word house, too. I hope it's the word house of John. Not the guy that built his house upon the sand, but built his house upon the rock. If you build a house, bless God, what do? You live in it, right? You don't build a house for somebody else to live in. So I hope I built myself a word house. So we can't get near him. Who says you're supposed to? What good's getting near me? What good getting near to God? Getting near to me would be the stupidest thing in all the world. I can't do my wife any good, my kids any good. How could I do any good? No good at all. See? Now listen, a virgin shall conceive, and that's what the church is doing today as a virgin bride. She's going to bring forth that word one, and that's what we're looking for him soon to come, because it can't be long. When I get time, I'll show you a film by Dr. Merkel. And in there you'll see things under a microscope of 16,000 power that'll blow your mind, what you'll see. And you say, Brother Vail, is true. Brother Branham said, when they're on the verge of discovering life, it's all over. And I'll show you that film actually authentic. And they're hounding that man. The FDA and everybody else is hounding him. I believe he's a Jew without a doubt. And I believe he's a Jew that is blessing America because America has been good to the Jews, but they're going to turn on him. And you'll hear things on that tape that'll boggle your mind. You'll say, yep. Yep. Yeah. It's the end. So let's rise and be dismissed. Thank God it's the end. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the end of this little service here, gathering around your word and just looking what the prophet said, just a couple of paragraphs, all we get to, Lord, but we look at and go back to your word and we see, oh my, how true the word is. But people just want to put it here and they want to put it there and they want to do this and that, and I'm guilty. 100% guilty, Lord. I've been 100% guilty of doing it. But Lord, you know, since I believed the prophet in what little way I believed him, how I believed him, as dedicated, little as dedicated, or anyway, but go back to the word and say, he said it, let's look at it. And there it is. There it is. Just exactly what he said. And as we believe it, we know the framing of the picture comes into existence. We see the word of God framed and his hand standing there. The picture, Lord, that you could only give by a prophet. Now, Lord, I know that we're not sincere enough. Brother Branham said that. And we're still not sincere enough. How sincere we ought to be, I do not really know. Perhaps there's some way we can show it. Or just the fact, Lord, that we stand and say, I don't know, this isn't it. Don't ask me any questions. And don't try to take me anywhere because I know you've got nowhere to take me. I've been there already. We can't follow men any longer, Lord. We've got our stomach full of that. Over the years, they're all just like the Mormon trying to convince me I shouldn't be doing things when he's supposed to be doing and he can't do it. That's a fat way to look at things. So, Lord, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to call anybody's bluff either, as far as I'm concerned. There's nobody's bluff to call, but to stand with this word and to teach it, to preach it, to believe it myself. And whatever people hear my voice, perhaps it's the same way with them. So, Father, today we ask you again to make us more family with headship in our Father, even God, and our brotherhood in Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you've arranged this all so perfectly. You've come down here to put the church in order and all things under the feet of him that's now upon the throne, showing him all these great and wonderful works, showing him the fruit of that life and that ministry totally dedicated to you. And there again we see, Lord, the beauty of what the prophet said, that millenniums and further place of further sanctification. Ah, how wonderful. Just to realize that Jesus on that throne is seeing something, he saw, declared the future, and is right now seeing that being carried out. That's just like further sanctification to me. In this limited little thinking that I have, knowing that down the road, the ages to come, there's a revelation, there's the opening, there's the word of the Lord coming to pass. More thoroughly sanctified to it, it's sanctifying us, and we sanctifying the Lord God. And all of us more and more completely involved in and with and part of and manifesting the beautiful word, Lord, the great plan. Father, I pray that not one person shall miss it in this building. And no one shall leave here, Lord, without a touch upon their souls and upon their bodies. For we're all bending nearer to the earth, Lord. We're all crumbling, as it were. And we know that this is the hour of attrition when it's all over. The seed has run out. Every seed has run out. It's had its day. And you'll be coming back with the bride to cleanse it all. As Brother Branham said, all those germs no doubt will be destroyed. The flames have to go 1,000 miles near, which is quite possible that this is that hour. I don't know. That might be later on. But all those germs will be destroyed. All the wrong seeds will be gone. Or like the cactus, it'll unfold and desert bloom like a rose with no briars and no prickles. Those things, Lord, we know are coming. And by your grace, Lord, and believing by your predestinating power, your word, that we are a part of that. And it seems like that it's such an awesome thing, and it's a matter, Lord, of a gross impertinence that we would dare to even attach ourselves or call ourselves a part. But Lord, how could we dare not to in this hour? When Brother Branham said, is death not to go behind the veil? And we know that going behind the veil reveals you. And true worship, all the things that are right. So, Father, we thank you for what you brought us this end time. May we not forget it. May we rejoice. May our countenance show it. May our relationship to each other, as Brother Branham said, greet each other, brother seed, sister seed, absolutely. Fellow pilgrims on the way, going back to our home that we once knew but forgot now to renew old acquaintances and start in the glorious kingdom of our God in a way that, sir, it'll bring on a further sanctification. I know it will. Now, unto the King, eternal, immortal, all glorious and all wonderful, the only wise God, be all power and all glory and honor, that we might give him from our hearts from this day on, increasingly, never ceasing. Unto him we give praise and ask that he help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Sing, take the name of Jesus with you.